This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on paying less for the coverage you need with Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get a quote today at FBHP.com. I'm Mike Keith, joined by Coach Dave McGinnis and Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio here in the BetMGM studio. Gentlemen, great to have you with us.
It is good to be here.
Great to be here.
Week 17. Here we go.
Here we are.
Will Levis wants to play. Dave McGinnis, what is the balance between being excited that your young quarterback wants to play and trying to play with everything he's doing and then protecting him from himself?
Well, they'll have to determine whether he can protect himself with movement, because, you know, after one day of practice, he participated fully on the first day, but it wasn't a full speed day, which, you know, they're trying to get everybody up to speed, as you said, at the 17th week of the season. But as the week unfolds, seeing if he can protect himself movement-wise, you know, throwing-wise and everything of that nature, he's fine. But it's just, you know, with a lower extremity injury, you want to be sure your quarterback can get himself out of harm's way, because we all know that there, sooner or later, any quarterback in the league is going to have to move and maneuver the cylinder. So that's what they'll look at.
Fans say he's been involved with a team that has given up 56 sacks this year. He hasn't taken all of them, but they have given up 56 sacks. So don't send him out there for the last two games. How do you answer that?
No, you got to, you know, you're competing. You cannot play, coach this game, nor play this game with fear of something bad might happen. You got to go out there and make something good happen. That's just not how you approach it at all. But they will consider his health as far as to what he can do to protect himself. And then, I mean, my answer to that is block him.
Right. What is the value in him playing the last two games?
He still needs experience. This is going to be the quarterback. He's the quarterback of the future, and he still needs experience. He's had eight games, and that's a small microcosm of what he needs to develop being a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And playing two division games coming up, those take on a different nature unto themselves. And so any experience that he gets right now, you can do all the whiteboard stuff you want, you can do all the walkthroughs you want, you can do all the film study you want, but until you experience it full and in live and when everything is rolling, that experience doesn't get embedded in your DNA. That's what he needs.
He watched the first six games of the year, Rhett, then he started the next eight, and then he watched last Sunday. I thought in his press availability this week, Will Levis was very insightful about how different it was to watch last week than it was in September and October.
And I think that's one of the reasons why, outside of the obvious one that Coach Mack pointed out about competing, I think you want to see what he does when he gets the next opportunity after he's had a different vantage point. You know, first handful of weeks there, the regular season, he was doing it, watching him from the sidelines as the emergency quarterback. And now he has a different perspective. But he did. He told all of us how much it was different in how much more quickly the game will come to him and is coming to him because of things that he recognizes and sees as they're out there trying to do their thing. And he's, you know, an observer.
What's the most impressive thing you've seen Will Levis do as a rookie, Coach Mac?
That he's fearless in the pocket. He is fearless in the pocket. And then, you know, you can watch somebody throw the ball when there's not live things coming at him and making quick decisions. But his ability to stand in until the last instant and then flick it and get it downfield and get it to where it needs to go, that's very impressive. But the first thing is he doesn't watch the rush. He doesn't watch the rush. Most young quarterbacks, sooner or later, you mentioned the number of sacks. He hasn't taken all of those, but he's taken too many of them. But it still has not deterred him from looking downfield and letting routes develop. He's not looking at the rush. And that's the first thing you look for. You know, it's like taking getting a brand new hunting dog, and the first time that gun goes off, is he going to flinch, or is he going to watch when the bird goes down and go to get it? And he doesn't flinch. That's what impresses me.
Reference to a hunting dog here early in the OTP.
Sounds like a franchise hunting dog.
I've got a lot of references
in my life. I love the references. I wish we were winning more because I think the references come out more on Titans Radio when we're winning.
They do.
Because they're less opportunities.
You've heard that old axiom, that dog will hunt.
Yes.
Well, that comes from when you drop the tailgate, you know, and you got hunting dogs that they're ready to go, jump out, spinning around, ready to go, and you got that one sitting in the back going, what are we doing? No, you don't want that one.
Yes.
Will Levis is the first group of dogs.
Will Levis is the first one out of the tailgate.
But he has pocket awareness.
He really does.
Because some guys – I mean, like David Carr, for example, was a quarterback who took 72 sacks in a year, and it was like he just never knew it was coming. And there are some quarterbacks that just stand in there, and you're like, fella, I mean, you've got to have awareness that there has to be that clock in your head. And I sense that while Levis has the toughness to not look at the rush, he also does have the clock in his head.
Well, he does, but you know, and David Carr is a great example. Of course, you know, he was with a brand new team.
Right.
They had to put a lot of brand new guys together. I had David Carr in the Senior Bowl when I was a head coach down there, and he had all the physical attributes you want, and he was a smart guy. But you could see him start looking at the rush about halfway through his rookie year, because as you said, it wasn't only the awareness; he didn't know where it was coming from. And he never got out of that, and that was a shame.
But he did win a Super Bowl with the Giants. He was the backup quarterback.
He's
on TV.
And you know what? And doing a good job with that, too.
He does a nice job on television.
You know, the other thing that impresses me about Will Levis in the 8 games that he started, it'd be easy for a guy like him, who's afforded a great weapon in DeAndre Hopkins, just to go there a bunch. He found all – how many of those – games in post game we're talking about, he found 6 and 7 different receivers and deals the ball to you know, he isn't going to the well at one particular well. He's distributing the ball like you would want to see a pro quarterback do it.
Well, I mean, I think he's been coached to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good point that Rhett makes, because the first time he went out there, he was forcing the ball to hop. He was forcing the ball to hop. And I think, you know, I wasn't privy to their conversations, but they talk a lot. And I'm sure, you know, that DeAndre Hopkins has helped him a lot. And I know DeAndre Hopkins is not telling him, just throw it to me, because DeAndre Hopkins is way savvy in the way that this works. And to Rhett's point, you have seen him grow in that instance. Now, is he there yet? No, he's not there yet. That's why, again, back to your original question, why it's important or why it would be helpful if he could be able to play these next 2 weeks, those types of things.
I'd like to see Hopkins go back to Houston and have a good game, because he had a less than stellar game against Houston when the two teams played up here. And it would be nice to get a chance to go over 1,000 yards back in the familiar stomping grounds. Derrick Henry, very close to his 5th 1,000-yard season. I'd like to see him be able to accomplish that. I mean, there are individual marks that are out there. We talk about Hopkins with 1,000 yards. We talk about Henry with 1,000 yards. Landry is a half sack away from double digits. He's got 9.5. And we've talked about the fact that Denico Autry is 4 sacks away from setting the franchise record for sacks in a season.
That's hard to believe. And career numbers for him.
Career numbers at age 33.
12 quarterback sacks.
Well, and it just, you know, shows with this season, with 7 one-score losses, it's not like you were getting rolled every ball game.
Right.
And, you know, and guys are playing. And, of course, any of these guys would trade any of those individuals for wins. I mean, you ask any one of them, they would. But it's an important part of it because – and they are still performing at a high level. Everybody that you just mentioned, I mean, all of those guys are professionals to the max. They're performing at a high level regardless of the disappointment of not – we've talked about this before, the rewards in this league are not money. The rewards are winning games, but they're still going at it, even without that reward at the end that has been, you know, happened 7 times with 1-score losses.
Feel like we're going to get a healthier football team this weekend.
It sure seems like it, and I think that was based off of just the initial look at the injury report that came out Wednesday afternoon, in the fact that I know they probably didn't do a ton of things, but there was no one who didn't participate.
Right.
That was my just looking at things going, okay, where's the silver lining here? Okay, that's good. So, you know.
I think healthy relative to where we are now.
Well, yeah. Healthier than last
week. Yeah, healthier than last week.
Well, he declared, what, 8 players out on Friday, Coach Vrabel did?
Right, and then had to put some on IR right. because they just weren't going to be ready to get back for the next week. It's not that guys would necessarily be out for the year in some of the cases. It's that you need a healthy body now.
There you go.
It doesn't feel like that's going to be the case at the end of this week. And so that's a good thing, is that you know, potentially could take a team down there that has more available bodies and some more experience. As part of it, I mean, you looked at last week. If you took out the 3 specialists, Josh Wiley wasn't going to play. He was dressed, but he was not going to play. And then, you know, a couple other guys were kind of dinged up too. I mean, they had maybe 41, 42 guys who could really help.
Yeah, if you're being honest, that's exactly right. that's the number. That's the number. They, you know, they had guys dressed. It's a great point that you make, but they didn't have a full complement of players that could help in the game.
And
last
Houston Houston was not good against Cleveland.
Well, first of all, we've mentioned it on the OTP before. That Cleveland defense, real deal. But, yeah, they made life difficult for them. I mean, Case Keenum throws 2 interceptions pretty early on. They end up putting Davis Mills in there. And offensively, they had no answer for Amari Cooper. I mean, they just – pretty much dominated.
265 yards receiving. Do you have him on your fantasy team?
I do not. I wish that I did. I had.
Were you playing the guy who had or the person?
No, no. And I did lose in this round, but not by a ton of points. Because if the guy I played had him, it would have been a boat race probably.
So let me ask you this question: Who are the best players in 2023 in fantasy? Christian McCaffrey has to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Who else?
I'll tell you one who has been really good as a rookie. 2 that have been good as rookies. Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back for the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Sam Laporta, the rookie tight end for the Detroit
He's
Lions.
Having
I had
a great
both
year.
Of them.
Okay.
And I'll tell you one that's a solid person who just gets you double digit points every week is Rashee Rice with the Kansas City Chiefs, because they don't have a lot of the weapons they've been used to having.
I've never played fantasy, so I don't know how this works. And the reason I don't play fantasy is because I don't want to pull for a player against the Titans, because I'm a competitive person. So if I'm playing, when I used to play fantasy baseball, I was like up every morning reading the box scores, you know, crazy. And so, but I don't want to pull against anybody against the Titans, because I don't want one of my players on my fantasy team to score a touchdown against the Titans, and I get just as excited about them as I do a Titan scoring a touchdown, which could happen.
Oh,
because I would lose it, and then that would be bad.
There's a lot of times when I construct my roster, I have that in mind going, all right, they're not playing them this year. I'd like to take this guy.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Sure.
I never have, never
well,
will.
Well, you did real football.
Yeah.
You don't have to hang around with bozos like us who have to, you know, pick I mean, you had 31 years of you got to pick, help pick real teams.
There's other reasons I like hanging with bozos like y'all.
Well,
okay.
That's
good.
There's other reasons. Fantasy football's way down the list of
I've played fantasy football off and on for over 20 years. And I really enjoy it. It's a good thing to do with your friends,
sure,
or coworkers, buddies,
yeah,
whatever.
You make money doing it.
When I used to play in a league for those things, yes. This league is just for pride. There's nothing invested. It's
How
just
much
for
does
bragging.
Pride get you?
Zero. I made it to the semifinals in the league that I'm in this year, which I thought, well, that's pretty good, because I had Justin Jefferson and the quarterback with the Vikings who threw to him, Kirk Cousins, and both, you know, injured off throughout the year, and that kind of. So I felt fortunate that I made it that far in the thing. But it's fun. That's the thing about it. It's fun. But
who
I'm
was
not...
the first pick in your draft? I'm interested to know who is. I don't know this.
I think it was Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey.
Because I took Justin Jefferson 2 overall.
Okay.
You know, the fantasy football that the Titans sponsored, that, you know, I went to the event that they had, you know,
where they had the draft, right?
Where they had the draft. Fascinating. That fascinates me, because I mean, those people had computers. They knew what was happening.
It's all electronic.
It was a snake draft, and I was fascinated by it. You know, they asked me, would you come there and spend about half an hour and just visit with everybody, which I have no problem. I love that. But I stayed for a long time just watching it. I mean, it's fascinating, the details that go into it.
Well, what's funny is when fantasy became a thing, we could not play as NFL employees.
Correct.
We were not allowed to play.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It was gambling. And then the NFL realized how many people were playing fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And so then all of a sudden, fantasy was great. So then the league was sponsoring fantasy.
They embraced it.
Well, it's like what's happened with gambling.
Sure.
It's like, so when the realization hits that there's a way to do it to, you know, up your product.
Profit is not a dirty word.
Profit is not a dirty word, but it's also, at the time, and I think it's probably even higher than this now, 1 in 10 Americans was playing fantasy football.
And to me,
I believe it.
That's crazy.
It's great for the game.
Sure it is.
At the heart of the way that fantasy football has gone for, I guess it's been around 30 years, plus maybe 35, whatever it is, I have a cousin, Greg, who lives in Memphis, and he literally has been playing fantasy football with his same friends from college for 31 years,
I
believe.
Great.
And they all, it's how they stay together, stay in touch with each other.
Right.
Life things happen. They go play golf together. But all the time, he's the one that kind of got me turned on to it years ago.
And Greg.
Cousin Greg. Cousin Greg's big
from
time
Memphis.
With that. Yeah.
Cousin Greg from Memphis.
Yeah, works for FedEx and has for his whole career. But he loves fantasy football, and it's a way he and his college buddies have stayed connected over
I really I like it for what it does. I like it for what it does.
Well, that's why the NFL whips everybody else in terms of the ratings, is because they have so many different ways that they pull you in. And they're always looking to pull at any thread to add audience. It's like just what they did on Christmas. You know, the NBA was always supposedly the owners of Christmas in terms of television. Well, guess what?
Guess what?
Not this time.
Not this time. And, you know, there's some talk is when Christmas is on different days, does the NFL – play a Wednesday game?
That's
what it will be next year.
It'd
right?
be Wednesday because it's a leap year.
So,
do they start looking to do that? But fantasy football was one of the first threads that they pulled. They understood the power of the draft, and we understand it. I mean, we'll spend the next 4 months doing draft-related things on the OTP, on TennesseeTitans.com, on the Titans YouTube site. Everything we do will be available via one of our platforms.
Yes.
Because people love the draft. And then the gambling aspect, you know, them talking about gambling now on ESPN and other things about here's the over and under and here's the line.
Sure.
And here's
– I've got some interesting prop bets for you.
Well, but, you know, that used to be an outlier, and the thing was you didn't – you know, like I couldn't have – when I did a radio show, I could not have a gambling guy on because I was in a college town. Mm-hmm. And I was on the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. And so I could not have a gambling guy on. Well, now gambling guys they're part of every segment of different shows everywhere. So you have all of these different things that pull people in. And it's like the Taylor Swift thing. The league is embracing the Taylor Swift thing, because it pulls more people in. It brings in a little bit different audience of people who want to be interested.
Well, because this is, you know, professional football is professional sports, but it's also the entertainment
it
business.
It is entertainment.
It's the entertainment business, and it's all of that stuff is great. I hope the Titans invite me back for their fantasy draft next year. I loved it. I mean, I thought
I'd say you'll get an invitation.
I would say so.
Well, I'm begging for one here on the
OTV.
Kind
of, you kind of are.
What is it about the draft process of that interests you?
the fact that, first of all, people are – they are – I love – of course, you know, the real draft, how much I love that we all done that in my whole life. You know, I've got notebooks full of draft stuff. But I was amazed at how knowledgeable everybody was. That and it was all different types of people on the team, but they all knew. And as I said, they all had their computers there. And so, you know, I would go around each table and start talking. And then I'd say, well, who are you guys looking at? And when I opened that can up, they could start telling me, start pulling and seeing and,
sure.
And here's where this, I was going, wow, these people are invested in this. But that's what I like.
Wouldn't you say that over the last 7 years joining Titans Radio, that finding out that fans are as invested as they are and are as knowledgeable as they are is maybe the thing you've enjoyed learning the most?
Well, I've enjoyed, and it's a great point. I enjoy now being able to interact with the fans.
Right.
Because as a coach, you don't get that chance. You know, maybe once or twice a year at a big event that you're asked to go to, you can do that. But now I can be with the fans, and yes, I love that. And fans of the National Football League, for whatever reason, they're fans of the National Football League. They are fervent about it. Fervent about it. And I love that.
Well, and that's a mistake I think a lot of people in coaching, no matter what level it is, make, is they assume that people, all fans are dopey. That's the assumption that some coaches make.
Yeah, that's completely wrong.
It is completely wrong. And then there are other coaches who don't. We have a coach here who does not think all fans are dopey.
Not at all.
Mike Vrabel doesn't feel that way. But when if you open yourself up to it, and it's like some guys too, and this is interesting, Rhett, because how many guys get out of coaching, go into media, and then in some cases go back into coaching, and they have a different vantage point from where they've been dealing with fans, dealing with people behind the scenes at ESPN or CBS or wherever they are, and it makes them better. It helps them.
They're more amenable.
Sure.
They are. Because
more respectful.
They are.
More understanding of what is really going on.
They've walked in some different shoes.
Right.
They really have. In a small way, it's what we've just been talking about with Will Levis. I'm interested to see what he does if he plays in these last two games with that one game of watching from the sidelines with a different perspective,
right,
now that he's played and started 8 games prior.
That's a good comparison.
That's a good point. Good point.
And then some coaches don't care at all.
Zero.
Well, there's a certain level you can't care what everybody thinks and what everybody's
saying.
No,
that's different, though.
Right.
That's different, worrying about what people think as far as respecting people's fervor for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing to me, and I enjoy it. I enjoy everything about Titans Radio. I mean, it's great. I mean, there's a lot of things, but some of the most fun is after a ball game, especially at home, when the Titans win, being able to hang out of that window and see the fans.
He's waving like the Pope up there.
We have to hold his legs as he hangs out, though. It's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want him to fall out. Yeah. That would not be good.
I just love that because everybody can – because that is the reward for this whole thing. And the fans feel it. I mean, they live it. They feel it. And I respect that.
SeatGeek is now the official ticketing partner of the Tennessee Titans. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Titans games or – any live event in Nashville, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek, the new official ticketing partner of the Titans. So
the Titans fans can fan.
Nicely done, Red.
And so, they can wave out the window.
They can wave out the window.
Coach Mack.
So I want to go into an area of expertise that Coach Mack has certainly shown on the OTP lately. You are the great defender of officials among us. You started this 2 weeks ago defending them for calling offsides in a late game situation in Kansas City.
They called it again.
I know. And then they started calling it.
They called it again.
Miraculously.
Against Kansas City.
Yes, during the holiday season, we had another miraculous happening.
Was it Valdez-Scantling?
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, what's the deal not signaling anything after the DK Metcalf play in the end zone last Sunday at Nissan Stadium? He catches or doesn't catch a pass.
That's ridiculous.
Nobody signals anything. Explain that to me, Coach. What teaching point is that in the officials?
I think you go to page three. And go page three and say, not good. Professional malpractice.
When in doubt, don't do anything.
When in doubt, just fade away.
It was
awful.
So he catches the ball, but the question is, did he possess it and did he get 2 feet down?
Mike, that's way.
There's an official standing right there.
That's way too many questions. You can't expect.
But you've got a
sick. That's way too many questions.
But the answer,
an official process.
The answer is, if he's not sure, signal touchdown. Because then it is automatically reviewed.
Because they are anyway.
The answer is, it's horrible.
But
it's professional malpractice, Mike. I mean, I'm standing right there with you.
But I think on Titans radio at that point, I've gone crazy. Because I'm looking out there.
I see nothing.
And at that moment, that's the biggest fear in what we do. Is that, you know, because radio is not a visual medium. So people can't see it. We're trying to help them see it through the radio, so to speak. And the guy gives no signal. Nobody gives any signal.
Why would he?
Nobody anywhere gives any signal.
Let me ask you something.
They don't throw the arms up. They don't wave incomplete.
It's like the play never happened.
It's like it never happened.
Can I ask both of you something? Why would they give a signal?
Oh,
I mean, they're only officials. I mean, why would they give a signal?
So then they
give
come back and mark the ball.
It's awful.
So I look at Brad Willis, who spots. And by the way, if they're present company excluded, because you were a very great spotter, Rhett, when you did that job. Brad Willis is a fabulous spot.
Tremendous.
I could not look at the field and just look at Brad.
Oh, absolutely.
And he could show me the game. I could do the game just looking at him. Because he could point, here's who's got the ball, here's where the ball went. He's amazing. I look at him thinking, okay, this is the point where I've lost my mind. I knew it would happen someday. But this is the point.
You thought it was December 17th, 2023.
Sooner than later.
Listen, I thought at that moment in time, I thought, I have lost my mind.
24th, I should say.
And they've got that camera right there in the booth on us. Mm-hmm. And so you could see the look of horror on my face. Because I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Because he's going away from us. He's at the far end of the field, far end to us. He's on the far end. He's on the far end of the end zone, on the far end of the field.
Far pylon.
Yes. We can't see it. It's obvious he's caught the ball, but we can't tell. And no signal. So I look at Brad, and Brad looks at me like, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
I got absolutely nothing.
It
I mean, you can't do that. The
total deer in the headlights.
Total,
yeah. Mike. It just points out. And again, I know how hard it is. I lived it on the sideline for 31 years. I know how hard it is, but it's not hard to do your job. And when you're that indecisive, I think all the instant replay has paralyzed these guys. It has paralyzed these guys to the point as. And again, I keep talking about they fast tracked people into this league
right. So
fast. That it's too much for him. It's like the screen went blank on that dude, and I'm just sitting there looking, going, "This is amazing." Because the no call, and it took him a while to sort it out.
Mac, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
There's been talk about, will they ever be made full time officials?
I don't think that will matter.
That's my question.
What would they? My question to that is: I've heard the advocates for full time officials.
Yeah.
What would they do all day?
Well, yeah, but here's the thing:
hang out,
touchdowns,
play fantasy football.
Play fantasy football.
Are they?
So they'll watch every play that ever happened, and that I think they're just paralyzed right now. And I think this is a great example, and it goes back to the offside thing. And it's like, are we going to call everything?
They called
illegal contact on a play that if it was beyond 5 yards down the field, it was 5.5, and it was on the other side of the field.
And
you're just like, okay, so we're. I understand you're seeing this, and I understand it's your job to call certain things, But doesn't there have to be a bit of common sense in it?
Well, there is no common sense now. And here's the thing. There used to be common sense because there was no replay, and a call was a call, and it was over.
But Pereira had it when he was running the officials.
Pereira had it. But here's what he did. I mean, look at the number of years that you had to be in the National Football League when I first started.
Right.
Before you could be a referee in a white hat. Now they're fast-tracking those guys so fast. What does that tell you about the roster that's behind them? They don't have enough experience in the big time doing it. And also, all of the scrutiny that they are under now, they're choking on it. They're just choking on it.
My question for you is, how much of the league tweaking rules every offseason has accelerated this?
A lot.
It's a significant part of the blame pile.
Well, it is.
Right?
But to Mike's point, and I think they need to go back. I mean, I've been in competition meetings. They need to go back and say, hey, how about all of these holding calls away from the play that have nothing to do with the play downfield that all of a sudden alter the whole sense of what's going on in that series? Can we come to an agreement that maybe this isn't part of it? And then the other thing is start making them make definitive calls.
Right.
Make a call. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But by not making a call, then you're never right. Because just as you said, we're sitting up there. And I feel it now more than ever. When you're on the sideline is the worst vantage point.
Sure.
To watch a game. That's why there's people in the booth that tell a head coach when to challenge. There's a lot that goes on communication-wise because you can see. But we can see it. And when we see something like that, all we need is a little indication as to where they're initially going to go. That just happened in this last ball game was frightening to me because there was nothing called. And then – it took them forever to figure out nothing.
Well, and it was unfair to Seattle.
Yes.
Because Pete Carroll had to challenge that.
Yes.
And he used his second challenge to do it. So he had over 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter where he didn't have a challenge left.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. That's not fair to Seattle. That's not fair to Pete Carroll. The other part of it, too, is we're talking about fantasy football. And we're talking about the different things that go on with the draft and Taylor Swift and how many gambling and how many different things people choose to follow because they love the NFL. I mean, this is entertainment. And if you're calling something 45 yards away from the play that doesn't affect the play, is that good for the business?
No, it's not. It's not. And so they're going to come back and say, well, you know, we're calling it by the letter of the law. No, you're not. Now what you're doing is
– so you now agree they shouldn't have called that offsides.
No, he was offsides.
It all comes back to that.
He was offsides.
He was offsides.
And they called it
but
again.
But did it affect – should you have called that in that moment based on what I'm – you know, and that's what I'm talking about with some of these other things. He was offsides. You're right. But some of these things I think – it's the common sense element to me that, I mean, the call on the illegal contact, was it on Al Shire?
I believe so.
It was. I mean, I was looking at it. I mean, you have 5 yards. He didn't punch the guy in the neck. He just sort of, he bumped him pretty good. But if it was beyond 5 yards, it was 6.
You're right,
Come
Mike.
On. I mean, really?
Well, and the other thing that just wears me out too is, of course, you know, I agree with protecting the quarterback.
Sure.
I agree, but when you got somebody, and we had it called on us, and then, I mean, I saw it twice last week where they're hitting a quarterback in the midsection at a step and a half, and then it.
Right.
So it's way out of whack, Mike. It's way out of whack, and I'm not saying this because I'm trying to denigrate the officials. I just know that the groundswell that's coming, even the uninitiated can watch it and go, is this right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of where the problem starts, Rhett, the state high school associations all over the country are having a brutal time finding officials. They are they are begging, they're advertising for officials for Friday nights, and there has to be carryover to college from that. And if there's carryover from that, it's got to work its way up, the pool from which you start. Because, I mean, you don't start in the NFL.
No.
You start in high school.
And that's the daisy chain of it.
Sure.
You're 100% right. And there's not enough. Aren't they changing when high schools have to play games the day of the week? Because
in Tennessee, every high school is required to play at least one Thursday so they can make sure and have enough crews for every weekend. So,
there you go.
So a crew can work a Thursday and a Friday.
I mean, it's a problem that I don't think is – I think it's one of those things that you try to people try to dismiss and think it'll just go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away.
No, you heard Mike Vrabel address it at his press conference on Tuesday, and the frustration you hear in his voice is he said, "All I want is consistency and stop the indecisiveness." Now he mentioned his son Carter, who plays baseball now at Tennessee Tech,
mm-hmm.
right? He's like, you got a ball, you got a strike, you got an out. You know, there's a definitive call there. Then there's replay elements to help, you know, figure out exactly what things are if it's something in question. He said, the indecision is a problem.
And I thought how he talked about the particular play we were discussing, he sounded much more like a member of the competition committee.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Than he did the head coach of the Titans. Because, like I said, it wasn't necessarily unfair to the Titans as much as it was unfair to Seattle in that instance. I mean, the official, to me, has to know, if I'm not sure, I've got to call touchdown. Because then it automatically goes to replay.
Well, and you're right. And Mike Vrabel wasn't talking as the head coach of the Titans.
No.
He was talking for the good of the league.
Sure.
But this is affecting.
He's not the only one talking about this.
Right.
And we're not just talking about, you know, calls against the Titans. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about administration of the game. That's what we're talking about.
You know what would really help the officials?
Duncan.
They need to – if they had more Duncan on game day, this wouldn't go on.
This wouldn't go on.
Yes.
Officiating runs on Duncan?
Hey, Titans fans and future officials, it's always game on with Duncan, so grab a coffee and kick off the action, whether that's drinking a cup of coffee on your way to the game or grabbing one to go before watching the game at home or officiating a game. Duncan is always there to help you get your game on. Just like the pros, we need to be at our best come game time, which is why Duncan is the most important part of your game day ritual, because it's always the best call for football. America runs on Duncan. Ready to go to Houston?
Let's go.
Yes.
I'm ready to go.
Let's go to Houston.
That's what a lot of folks, they ask, you know, how do we keep going when the season's not going well? It's like, we get to go watch NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
It, every week you build up, you talk about, and we've all been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you do when you want the competition part of it. You build up to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about game day in the NFL.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
We have those moments, Mike. We look and go, "How are we? We're doing
getting to
this.
Do this.
This is crazy.
It is crazy.
Well, because
we're a couple of goofs.
Y'all are really good at it.
Yeah,
called us goofs and bozos. I'm not disputing those things.
That's right.
I'm in agreement.
Well, he's been there the whole time, so he knows.
Full time goof. Full time bozo.
All fans are not dopey.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
No,
that ought to be on a T-shirt.
The other thing about going to Houston, and of course, it's a sidebar to all this. Is you got the original Tex-Mex restaurant down there?
Oh,
that
we might go by there.
Oh,
no, we're going.
Okay,
we must.
We're going, and I've as long as I've been with Titans Radio, I've decided there's two things that as long as I'm with Titans Radio, I'm going to do, and it's going to be Coach Mack centered.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Mama Ninfa's, and we're going to St. Elmo's.
Well, we're going to eat.
Yeah, but
I mean, we're gonna go, that's my one thing.
Yeah, and the other thing is those two, Mike. I'm just saying this for the OTP people to know, you're not paying for those two, so just get ready for that.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll see.
You're welcome. No, we're not seeing nothing.
But But the thing is, we're going to eat. We're going to eat some spots.
You mean like the officials? You're not seeing nothing?
That's like...
not seeing nothing.
Didn't you like how I came up with the Follow Me Through Tennessee feature so I could go eat good places in Tennessee?
That's genius.
First of all...
It is genius. It's my highlight of 2023.
It was genius.
Mike, I like the feature to begin with because I'm always interested in places in our great state of Tennessee. The excuse to eat just makes it even better.
Oh, it's so great. The one we have this week where we took Brett Kern to Jiffy Burger in Manchester.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's my favorite. It's right up there because of Kern. Because he had just retired. He had just retired. And I had just had my shoulder replaced 2 weeks earlier. So we had an opportunity to go. And he says, listen, if we're going to do it before I start traveling with my family this summer, we've got to go now. So I didn't know if I could drive.
Yeah, because you're all slinged
up. Oh, I was totally slinged up. And I might have spent part of that day without the sling on.
Hmm. Against doctor's orders.
Oh, and I mean.
You paid for it too, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. But the Bonnaroo Burger was totally worth it. If you go to Manchester, go to Jiffy Burger. First of all, have your picture taken with the Titans helmet that we have there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a game-worn Titans helmet now that they're very proud of. So ask them if you can be photographed with the Titans helmet and send it to us. We'd love to see it. But the Jiffy Burger is crazy with this Bonnaroo Burger. They have a lot of good stuff. Apparently, they have a great breakfast, too.
What is on the Bonnaroo Burger?
It's an egg.
Oh, come on. You're starting off
it's
good.
Cheese. Two patties, an onion ring, mayonnaise.
While we're talking about on the road with Mike Keith, where's the place that you stop when we go to Mobile?
Durbin Farms.
Oh!
Durbin Farms.
Unbelievable.
It's pretty great.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. Clanton, Alabama, exit 205.
Durbin Farms.
I mean, we went there.
The ice cream is unbelievable.
Oh, no, the whole setup is great.
Well, so it's a farmer's market.
It is that.
And so you can get all kinds of produce and good
preserves
yep. and pecans and peanuts and, I mean, anything you want. And then you go inside and then they do, like, they've got a kitchen and so they do sandwiches and so on and so forth. So it's a good lunch. They kind of have a little bakery dealio, but they homemade. The ice cream is all homemade.
It is. Wow.
It's the greatest cookies and cream ice cream that I've ever had.
The whole thing was, I was just fascinated. I mean, I loved it. Those kind of places that you find, I loved it. And then you go into that farmer's market. I mean, I walked around in there with you and Rhett for a long time. It took us longer to get to Mobile, but it's worth a stop.
We hit it on the way back, and I brought home all kinds of produce and
next time you have to pay for it, though.
It's
you can't just walk out of there with it like you did last time, Rhett.
Now I don't even know if I can go if you're telling me I've shot.
That was a good move, though.
It was a lot cheaper that way.
It was a good move.
Just made a dash to the car. Give me the keys, Mike.
But against the line. Yeah, I kind of wondered why you were in such a hurry.
Mike, Mike, give me the keys.
Well, Durbin Farms, if you go there, tell them we said, hey. People who are on the way to 30A will stop at Durbin Farms.
Mm. What a great place. On the road with Mike Keith, there are some places that are really cool to stop.
I love that stuff. I mean, I admit it. Amy, when she comes back, you know, we got started doing the Follow Me Through Tennessee because she made fun of me on the OTP. She's like, I bet you know a spot in, and I don't know a spot in every county, but I know enough.
I bet it's close.
I know enough, and then I know enough people who can tell me.
Mm-hmm. Make recommendations.
Places to go.
Yep.
And it's like we went to the pie shop.
That's so great.
And just outside of Cookeville.
That is so great.
The Rose Garden.
The Rose Garden.
Off exit 273.
And the first time I was ever exposed to it is going to Cookeville to record something with Larry Stone and Doug Matthews. Just whips off the road and starts driving. So I said, where are we going? He said, you'll find out.
If you're going east, just get off at 273, take a right, and you go a quarter of a mile, and it sits there, and it just says restaurant.
It says restaurant.
And you know a place is good when it just says restaurant. Because that's really all you need to say.
That's all food. You need to say.
Yeah, here. Yeah. And the food is fantastic, but the pie.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And I'm not even the world's biggest pie guy. I would be more of an ice cream guy than a pie guy.
The thing that's cool about that place, though, and it's just like all these kind of places we're talking about, I'm sure, throughout Tennessee and Texas, anywhere you want these off the – you walk in there, and if you go back 2 or 3 weeks later, same people will be sitting
that's
there.
That's right.
The same people will be sitting there. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But this one this weekend, Jiffy Burger in Manchester.
Bonnaroo Burger.
Sweet people, too. Golly, David and his daughter and
his wife. Well, they're excited, too, when the voice of the Titans comes walking in the door. I mean,
and he comes bearing gifts with a game-used helmet.
He comes bearing gifts.
Couldn't lift it, but I had one.
At that point, yeah.
I was like, okay.
You pick this up.
Would you hand this to them, please?
I mean, when Mike came.
Yeah, there was some trick photography involved with that shoot. Because if you watch,
is there some Titan CGI involved
it's
here?
It's not really CGI, but they had to, like, because I couldn't bump into anybody. When you have that kind of surgery, you know, the big thing is you can't take a hit of any sort. So they let me get to the booth, and then I was back in the corner of the booth with my shoulder just up against the wall, so nobody would bump into me. And then I'm just sitting there. It was kind of like, oh, he's really lazy, because Brett Kern went in the kitchen and flipped burgers. And I would normally love to do that. That would be a lot of fun, but I couldn't get near anybody at that point.
See, that's a little scene.
Behind the scenes. So if you watch it on Titans All Access or you watch it on the Titans YouTube channel, keep an eye out for the fact that, and I mean, I've got like a wind jacket on with a t-shirt because that was all I could pull over my shoulder.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a button-up shirt.
In other words, if you see this feature this weekend, you're going to go, what the devil's wrong with Mike?
Yeah,
at the shoulder surgery.
Now you've got some Easter eggs.
There you go.
That's right.
But Brett Kern is just the best.
Well, of course.
Of course he is.
He was hilarious. Because he just really didn't care anymore. So he told like every story on the, in the truck going down. And yeah, that's going to be the next OTP, as a matter of fact.
That's awesome.
Outstanding.
Well, that's what we do. We attempt to do outstanding.
Subscribe to the OTP. It's worth
Please.
It.
Please. What did they say? Subscribe, rate, and review?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for rating and reviewing and watching. And good to be headed to Houston with you boys.
Final road trip.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
All right. For Rhett Bryan and Coach Dave McGinnis, I'm Mike Keith. Thanks for joining us for the OTP.